You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 12. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful Monday and that you had a fabulous weekend. I actually spent the weekend celebrating my daughter's birthday. She turned 8 on Sunday, and this weekend, having her birthday and going to the party and talking with other moms sort of brought up the topic of today's podcast, because we were sort of lamenting about how our daughters are growing up and it's so fast and how they're getting so big and, you know, and it seems like they're older than their years, and we're kind of doing that, you know, parent thing, the thing that we swore we wouldn't do when we were kids, you know, that, well, when I was their age, this was how it was. And, but we sort of sunk into that, you know, when I was their age, we got to play outside and we weren't scared of being abducted and we didn't have cell phones and we entertained ourselves and we really didn't watch much TV because there was only like one channel that had cartoons and that was only on Saturday, you know, so we were just sort of discussing all of those things and how everything has really changed. And then I came home and was logged on to my Facebook and saw it was like the very first thing that popped up on my page, and it's been sort of popping up all over the place, but it's this weird Kylie Jenner or one of the Kardashians. I don't even pay attention to them. But there's this challenge, I guess, where these kids are like trying to get their lips to be all puffy like hers, and they're sucking on like shot glasses or bottles or cups to basically get a bunch of suction, and the suction makes their lips swollen, and I guess they're like injuring themselves. I mean, there's these horrible pictures of these girls who have done like horrible damage like around their mouths, and it looks like there's this one girl who looked like she had a big giant hickey all the way around her face, and it was terrible to see all of these young girls who felt they needed to do this to themselves to make their lips look a certain way to match a certain celebrity who really, I mean, in her own right, hasn't done anything really celebrity worthy. Like, it's just because of the family she belongs to. And it's, I mean, I don't know that I'd want to be famous for what this family is famous for. It's just, it's sort of like a lot of drama and, you know, TV shows, and it's a reality show, and they've become just sort of like almost a punchline, it seems like, anymore. And it's kind of terrible to me to watch, but it brought up a big concern for me because of, you know, my daughter getting older and turning 8, and she had said something about her father talking about getting her an iPhone, and she's 8. And I thought, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. And I know that he's actually not planning on getting her an iPhone. At least I hope not. He's planning on getting her a tablet for her birthday, which is, it just, that's fine for me, because she can, you know, play, you know, games on it, and she can stop stealing mine. But she also can use like the Kick services. There's like a little app called Kick where she can text message her dad, but using the Wi-Fi, and that's fine with me, because then she can kind of communicate with her dad, whatever she wants to, without having to worry about whether she's taking my phone or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it did bring to mind kind of my stand on social media and electronics and, you know, what I expose my children to or allow them to be around. And, you know, I think compared to a lot of parents, I'm really old fashioned when it comes to this. Like, my boys, they are 14 years old and they still don't have cell phones. I'm just now considering getting them cell phones because they are getting to the age where, you know, I am willing to, you know, let them go with their friends and drop them off and then pick them up and let them sort of be, you know, kind of leave them to their own devices. And it does sound odd, I think, probably to some people, but you also have to remember that my boys also are developmentally delayed. So the idea of letting them go out on their own was always something that was iffy, depending on kind of where they were developmentally, emotionally, socially. You know, I don't know that I would let my son Gage, who has more of a significant delay, go alone, because he tends to, you know, potentially get lost. He would panic, he would freak out. And I think it would be a little more scary to him to be out and about alone than his brother. So I think, you know, but the two of them, I think, could definitely get there at the point where they could go together with friends, go to a movie or something like that, go to the mall and, you know, hang out on their own. So I'm looking at that. Plus, they're looking into doing some more after school things. And so it's definitely handy for them to have a cell phone. But up until now, they haven't had one. And they really haven't, they've mentioned it a couple of times, but it's really never been like a real driving thing for them where they've really, really wanted to. And again, I think that's partially also because of the social, you know, delay that they have. They're not as social as other kids their age, which, you know, anymore, part of me kind of takes that as a blessing, to be perfectly honest. I mean, there's kids out there that are 14 years old that are having kids, they're having babies, they're going to parties and they're getting pregnant, or they're getting other girls pregnant, they're having sex. And like, when I was 14, the thought of that didn't even cross my mind. Like, it wasn't something that was important to me. I didn't think about that. It wasn't, it was never anything that I wanted or contemplated. You know, it wasn't like I felt I was missing out on anything. And, you know, maybe that's also because I grew up very protective. I mean, I was, had a single father. And I can only imagine how terrifying it was for him, you know, trying to raise a daughter and make sure that, you know, bad things didn't happen to her, she didn't get pregnant, you know, like, I'm sure it probably freaked him out. So for a good part of my life, I felt like I was really overprotected. I really, really felt very, sort of, I don't know, there was definitely a buffer for me. I felt very, very, I don't know, restricted in ways. But now that I'm older, I think I'm okay with that. I'm kind of, like I said, I can see it from my dad's point of view, especially now that I have parents, or I'm sorry, children of my own. thinking to myself, I can kind of get that. Like, as a dad, it would be terrifying. I'm terrified. I'm a single mom, but I'm terrified. Like, I see all the kids in my boys' school, and they're talking about, you know, my son asked me the other day, he's like, well, my friend asked me if I was still a virgin. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you're a freshman in high school. Of course you're a virgin. Please, like, please tell me you are still a virgin. He's like, Mom, of course I am. I'm like, okay, I'm just, you know, gotta make sure, because it is, it's scary to me. And it makes me feel a little bit better, to be honest, that they are a little socially stunted, because I haven't had to worry about that stuff. They're just now starting to be interested in girls and the opposite sex and, you know, maybe going out and having a girlfriend. You know, they're just starting to now develop crushes on girls. And so, and I'm okay with that, you know, that it took this long, really. But my daughter isn't delayed. And so I'm very terrified with the amount of things that they're exposed to anymore. And I think that that's, like I said, that's why I was so, the topic came up to me, because of just logging in and looking at this. And it all became from like a whole social media thing. One person posted about it, and then it just became this viral sensation of kids doing the stupid thing of sucking their faces onto a glass as hard as they could to make their lips look puffy. Like, that's just amazing to me for a couple of reasons. One, because it's just like socially, our children are exposed to so much of, this is what your body should look like, this is what's beautiful, this is what's, like, you know, and I know that there's a lot of really good movements out there, like Dove does a lot of really great stuff, and it's inspirational on loving yourself for the way that you are, and not getting down on yourself and seeing yourself as beautiful. But I think they're fighting this major battle against this huge social uprising of, this is what's beautiful. You need to be this thin. You need to have this kind of hair. You need to have the puffiest lips possible, to the point where young women are sucking their faces onto cups to make their lips look bigger, and they're hurting themselves. Like, they're injuring themselves. They have these huge bruises and lacerations. I mean, like, they have done damage to their faces trying to get their lips to be puffy. It astonishes me. It truly does. Like, I don't understand where that desire comes from. And you know, maybe that's because I was raised in a family where I was, you know, always told that it, you know, I was a geek. I really was. I wasn't part of the popular crowd. I wasn't one of the, like, I wasn't a cheerleader. I didn't have fancy clothes. I didn't have name brand clothes. But I also was brought up to not care, or to try and not care. Like, you know, I still admit there were times when I felt bad, like I didn't fit in and I felt geeky and nerdy, and but I also was able to find a home in various groups, you know, in choir and drama, and you know, I had a lot of friends from all over the place. I had friends that were jocks, I had friends that were cheerleaders, I had friends that were in drama and choir, and I had friends that were stoners, and you know, so I had a really wide variety of friends and people that I hung out with. And so because of that, I didn't feel left out too much. I mean, there was definitely times where I felt excluded and that I didn't fit in. But I think everybody goes through that in some point in their life. And I think that it really definitely helps you define you and who you are. And it gives you that sense and the opportunity to develop your own internal, like, monitor of who you are, right? Like, that definitely builds a piece of who you are. But I was never really picked on or excluded to the point where I felt horrible about myself. I just always felt sort of like, I don't really fit in anywhere. But that was okay, because I was around people who it was okay that I didn't fit anywhere. I fit in with them because they accepted the fact that I didn't really fit in anywhere, if that makes sense at all. And so I really want that for my kids. But I mean, even in just the short, oh God, not even short, God, it's been 20 years. Oh my God. So 20 years since I graduated high school. And things have changed so much, like the internet and social media, like the pressure that kids are under anymore to fit in and belong, or, you know, fit a certain body type or certain image or certain stature in life. It's just insane to me, to the point that they're doing damage to themselves. And it scares the bejesus out of me for my daughter, because she's going to grow up in this. You know, she is growing up in this. She already has, like, little, you know, elementary school drama with her friends. She'll come home and say, well, this friend decided she didn't like me because I was hanging out with these other friends. And I'm sitting there driving home with her in the back seat, telling me about all this little second grade drama that's going on with her and her little friends. And I'm thinking, God, it's already starting. She's like, she's in second grade and it's already starting. She feels bad because one of her friends stopped talking to her because she's friends with another friend. And I mean, it's just astonishing to me some of the pressures that these kids grow up in. And so with that in mind, I had thought to myself, you know, my kids not having cell phones, they don't need cell phones, right? Like, my boys didn't need cell phones up until this year. My boys at 14 do not have Facebook accounts. They don't have Facebook accounts. They don't have Twitter accounts. They have no social media whatsoever. The only social media they are exposed to is when they happen to see me on mine. And even then, there's things that pop up in my feed where my sons are like, what is that? And I'm like, that is really none of your concern. It's not something that you really need to see. And it scares me. Like, I don't want them to have a social media account. And they're not going to for probably another couple of years. I don't feel that they need something like that until they're 16, 17 years old. Until they're a little bit more developed. You know? And my daughter, she certainly doesn't need it. I mean, God, I can only imagine the amount of pressure that would come to her in a social media account. You know, the last thing I want is for my daughter to come up to me with, you know, these huge puffy lips and these major injuries around her face because she saw something on Facebook. And there was things like, what, not that long ago, with people setting themselves on fire? Like, when did that become a smart idea? When did that become a good idea. Like, because you saw it on a Facebook post, I'm, like, gonna decide to douse myself in lighter fluid and light myself on fire just because I saw it on Facebook. It just amazes me the insanity that is out there that people will do just because they saw it on Facebook. Like, come on. At some point in your life, you were taught that it's not a good thing to set yourself on fire, right? Like, you were taught at a young age, don't play with fire, it's dangerous, and yet here you are, quite literally, setting yourself on fire just to be able to post it on Facebook. And then there's what the people who are doing the cinnamon challenge, like, I've watched 15 different videos of people who took the cinnamon challenge and tried to put a thing of cinnamon in their face, and they all about puked and spit out cinnamon and it about killed them. But I think I could do it. That's just idiocy. Like, I don't understand. It's amazing to me how we have just become this nation of people who celebrate morons. Like, why is it that will go viral? You doing something absolutely idiotic will go viral, but posts about, you know, a politician doing something good, you know, posts about your local charities who are doing good things in the community, those things get ignored. But idiocy is celebrated. And it scares the living crap out of me for my children to have access to that. It really, truly does. And, you know, I'm not entirely certain if I will ever allow my children to have Facebook accounts, you know, now that I think about it, because I think at the age of 16 and 17, that's probably when boys start doing some of the dumber things that they do, if memory serves. So, you know, they may not even get a Facebook account at that point. But to be perfectly honest, they're also growing up not really caring that they don't have it. And that makes me very happy. Like, they have yet to come to ask me, Mom, can I have a Facebook account? They haven't asked me if they can have one. They haven't asked if they, you know, can set up a Twitter account. They really, like I said, they've really not even really pushed to get a cell phone. And, you know, there's somebody asked me one time, they said, well, aren't you worried about, like, your children growing up sort of stunted when it comes to, like, having that socialization? And, you know, to be honest, to an extent, yes, I do worry about them being socially stunted in certain aspects, but I'm sort of weighing the pros and cons of it, to be honest. I mean, if them being socially stunted keeps them from doing something like setting their asses on fire, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them being socially stunted. Like, you know, if it keeps them from seeing the next trend of, you know, fashioning a parachute from bed sheets and trying to jump off your roof. You know, I mean, that's kind of what I equate it to. Like, you know, when we were kids, that was the stupidity, right? We saw our best friend, we were hanging out with our best friends, and one of us, you know, decided, hey, it would be kind of cool to see if we could build our own parachute. Let's make one out of bed sheets and jump off the roof, you know? And we're like, okay. Now, it's like a nation of people doing that. Like, one dumbass person suggests on a Facebook post, hey, I'm going to light myself on fire. And then the whole nation and the world goes, okay, that looks like a good idea. And then they do it. Like, but it's become global. It used to be it was just you and your dumbass friends, and you guys got in trouble because one of you broke your leg from jumping off the roof, right? Or you did something stupid. Or it's like, hey, let's go play with matches and start a fire in our backyard, which potentially would burn down our house, and we would get in trouble for that. But then, now in this world with social media and just having access to all of this, it makes it like a million times worse, because now there's a whole world of vulnerable, impressionable children who are like, oh, that seems like a good idea. And then they jump on it. And now all of them are doing it. And that's what just astonishes me with this whole Kylie Jenner thing. It's like, really? Did it seem like a good idea for you to suction cup a glass to your face? Like, do you not understand the way the body works and blood vessels work and bruises form and, like, just general, you know, biology, like how your body functions? Did you not understand this? For something that would be completely temporary, you would have to do this over and over again all the time to keep your lips, and you're basically keeping your lips swollen for an extended amount of time, which can't be good for you either, right? Like, it just astonishes me that there's just no thought process. And that's where I kind of get with the social media thing. It's like, you know, that's where when I was a kid, you know, I would get to sit down with my parents and they're like, okay, why did you do this stupid thing that you did? Insert stupid thing here, right? Why did you do this? Well, I was hanging out with my friend so-and-so and they thought it would be a good idea. And then right there is where your parents went, well, if that's the case, maybe you shouldn't hang out with so-and-so anymore, right? And unfortunately, with the way the world is now, they are exposed to that so-and-so, that friend, that dumb person who suggests the stupid ideas all the time that gets you in trouble or gets you hurt or gets you put in jail. There's a whole world, an internet full of them now that you have access to. It's not just the one dumb friend down the street that would get you in trouble. You have an entire internet full of them. So to be honest, like, I don't really feel bad for, like, I don't feel bad. I don't feel like it's going to stunt them in a fashion that will be detrimental to them. I really don't. I think it stunts them in a way that's actually helpful to them, to where they are developing their own individual personalities. They are developing their own internal moral compass, and they're doing so with their small group of friends and family who are helping influence them, whether it be in the right or wrong direction. That's easily corrected. I don't think that allowing them to have this huge access to a humongous world of people suggesting idiotic things to them is going to help them in any fashion. I don't think keeping them from Facebook and Twitter and all of the just moronic things. I mean, in all honesty, if you were to look at your Facebook page, like right now, so for example, I'm going to go to my Facebook page. I'm going to go to my Facebook page and I'm going to take a look at what's on my feed. Let's see. Facebook page. All right. So logging in and looking at my Facebook page, the first thing I see is my trainer's video, which is great. Darth Vader and Stormtroopers dance to Michael Jackson. That's very, you know, harmless. No problem. Let's see. Things on sale. Oh, here's an ad for, you know, losing weight with the, you know, wrap things. Here's more stuff for Star Wars, May the Fourth Be With You. More sales things. Oh, here's a picture of somebody's cake from their baby shower that looks like a baby coming out of, you know, a woman's hoo-ha. That's good. My kids need to see that, you know. Let's see. Lots of great, yeah, just nothing really interesting, you know. Things that my kids don't necessarily, it won't kill them to miss this, you know? Let's see. Do you think children requiring medical marijuana should be allowed to use it at school? See, these are very interesting news topics, but things that my kids, they don't necessarily care about. I follow things like news sites and, you know, my friends' pages and stuff like that. And there's blog posts that I follow and, you know, I try and follow inspirational things. But then I've also got the, you know, friends and relatives who post things and I'm just like, oh my God, you know. But I'm yet to see anything that my children would be, you know, that they should have. Like, their lives will be less because they didn't see this one post selling me, you know, weight loss pills. Oh, here's another one of a music video. Yep, my kids don't necessarily, nothing that they absolutely have to have. So why is it that this is such a, I guess, accepted thing, you know, that kids as young as like 7 or 8 have Facebook pages that they log on to and can just get access to. Not to mention the possibility of child predators. Like, that opens up a whole nother level of, oh my God, I can't even fathom that. Like, I get freaked out when my son is on the PlayStation and is chatting with the people he's playing his games with. I'm like, who are you talking to? what are they asking you? He's like, Mom, we're just talking about the game. I'm like, okay, don't talk to anybody. Don't tell them your phone number. Don't tell them who you are. Don't tell them where you live. You know, and the fact that I have to be that hypervigilant, because I have to be. I mean, you see stories all the time about kids who go to meet people that they met online and get abducted or abused or killed. And it's amazing to me. It really is. And I sit here and, you know, not only when social media became so prevalent, did it open up a world of potential bad ideas for our children. It opened up a world of bad people for our children as well. The internet was probably like Christmas for online predators. It really had to have been, because they didn't have access where they were, but now they have access via the internet and can go anywhere at any time and talk to a child anywhere. I mean, think about that. And it scares the crap out of me. So I'm okay with my children being socially stunted by not having access to social media, by not having cell phones at this age, by not being able to access the internet unless it's for work or to, like, you know, watch, you know, Netflix, right? Or, you know, a occasional YouTube video of their favorite, you know, music person, you know, whatever it may be. But it's all very closely monitored. And it does scare me to death that, you know, if they ever happen to end up in any of those places, like who they might have access to and who might have access to them. And it sucks that that's the world we live in. It really is. It does. It sucks a lot. And I hate that I have to feel this way. And like I said, that's what the moms and I were kind of talking about back at my daughter's birthday party. Was like, man, the world has changed so much since we were little that, you know, we didn't have internet. We didn't have, you know, online presences. We didn't have social media. You know, we had our friends, and there was a close group of friends from school or the neighborhood, and that was it. We didn't have people that we talked to in other states and other countries unless it was like family members or pen pal. I think pen pal was the closest thing I had to social media in my whole life. I had a pen pal that lived in another state, and that was it. You know, that was my experience with talking to others from far away. And so it was safer. You know, it was safer. We felt safer. Our parents felt safer. There wasn't this fear of, oh my God, who are they talking to? What are they seeing? What are they having access to? Because our access to certain things was limited, and there is no limit now. And that can be a good thing, but it can also be a very bad thing. Like, there is no limit to the amount of information that our children have access to, given a computer, given a tablet, given a cell phone. And it is very scary, because that can be good or it can be bad. And as parents, or for me as a parent, it's my job to really monitor that. And, you know, I'm sure at some point my children will think I'm some sort of social media Nazi and be angry with me. And I'm willing to take that. I'm okay with that, you know. And again, it comes back to, I think, the times when I was really mad at my dad and I just didn't understand. And I'm like, I hate you. I can't believe you won't let me do this. You like, smother me. You're totally overprotective. And I hate you for it, you know. And I'm sure those words really hurt my dad. But at the same time, you know, he was told, yeah, I'm okay with that. It's okay with me. Because even though you're unhappy with me or you don't like it, at least I know that you're safe. Right? I know that you're safe. And it is. It's a very fine line, and it's a very hard line to come to, because do I think that there are a lot of things that my father could have let me do that would have given me some experiences and that would have helped me out in life lessons along the way? Sure. There were also a lot of times that my father did give me those experiences. You know, I recall very vividly the very first time I ever drank anything. I was, 17? It was one of my best friend's birthdays, and we went to her party. I didn't realize there was going to be drinking when I went. When I got there, there was, and I wasn't going to be the one that said, okay, I'm not going to drink. Drank way too much, got exceedingly sick, like horrifyingly sick, and ended up having to go to work the next day. I was late for work. My boss called me. My boss called my parents. My boss was trying to track me down. I remember, like it was yesterday, going up the escalator of the mall as my parents were coming down. And they saw me, and the second they saw me, they knew what was wrong with me and what had happened. And they just sort of, they're like, you're in some serious trouble. You better get your butt to work and we will talk about it when you get home. And I just knew. And they knew. But to my father's credit, it never became a big issue. And it was more of a discussion of, we know what you did. We know what happened. We know why you look the way you do. We know why you look like you got hit by a bus. And, you know, we feel that you are punished enough at this point for the way you feel. Because literally, I was like, dude, if I smell alcohol now, I will puke. I couldn't even stand the smell of alcohol for a good 6 months after that, because it was that bad. But, you know, bless him, my dad, you know, he let me have that learning experience. So, you know, I know there's going to be times where I have to let up on the reins and I have to let them experience things. But again, the world is a lot scarier than it used to be. You know, online predators are prevalent. It's easier than ever to come into drugs and get illegal drugs and illegal things. And it is scary. It's very, very scary as a parent. So I think, you know, holding them off on social media isn't the worst thing in the world for me at this point. I think that I'm hopefully helping them develop a sense of self that is based on who they are, what they want, how they feel, and less from what society thinks they should feel, what society thinks they should look at, what social media thinks they should be doing or feeling. And that's really important to me. I really want my children to have that sense of self that they are very strong in. And if they have that, they are less likely to be swayed by the people who say, oh no, come on, try this, it'll work, or try this, or do this, or here, suction cup your face to a glass, it'll make your lips look puffy. Like, you know, hopefully at that point, my children will be smart enough and self, you know, actualized enough to go, that's dumb. I really hope that that's the case. That's the goal anyway. So I really hope that you enjoyed this podcast. It was just definitely sort of a rambling about my feelings on social media and keeping my kids away from it for a while. I would love to hear your feedback on your opinion on social media and when's a good age. You know, what age would you allow your child access to social media? Have you already allowed your child access to social media? Does your younger child have a Facebook page? You know, how is that working out for you? Do you closely monitor it? Have you had any issues? Would definitely love to hear a discussion about this, because I think it's something that obviously it's not going away. Social media is going to be here for a very long time. And, you know, I know that everybody has a different opinion about it. And obviously not everyone's opinion is going to be my opinion. So yeah, please leave your comments below on how you handle social media with your kids. Do they have accounts? Do they not have accounts? What age do you plan on allowing them to have an account? And as always, if you haven't gone, please visit us at thesinglemomblog.com. There's all sorts of other great articles, past podcasts. Sorry, it's Monday. Oh my goodness. Featured blog articles, great stuff to download. And hope to talk to you soon. See you next week. You've been listening to the Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to the Single Mom blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments, because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.